You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Yes, you're on The Wire, and I'm joined in studio by producer Sam Smith, news director Lillian Hanley, and University of Auckland film, television, media professor Neil Curtis. We also have
Aaron Marsh-Niapu on the line. Aaron, are you there?
Yep, kia ora. Kia ora.
So Aaron is one of the founding members of Racial Equity Aotearoa, and they have done a number of pieces recently about a tikanga Māori approach to immigration. But first, Aaron, we'll talk to Neil, who has written a response to Duncan Garner. Joel?
So just to give some context to the listeners, so news reporter Duncan Garner has recently written an article for Stuff where he complained about the packed line in Kmart and his experience about it, saying it could be anywhere from Southeast Asia. He went on to use it as evidence to fuel an anti-immigration article, saying he wants to have a discussion around infrastructure in regards to growing immigration numbers. Since then, he sparked a lot of controversy on social media, causing him to delete his Twitter. Goodbye, Twitter haters, he said in response to people who called him racist. And he said those people clearly don't know them at all. So, Neil, you wrote a response to this. Can you tell me a bit about your response?
Hi. When I read the piece, I was just very concerned about how he picked out particular ethnicities.
Mm.
And being an immigrant myself, a white man from the UK, I noticed that I wasn't there. Mm. And that I found really disturbing. If this was a general piece about migration to New Zealand, then why wasn't I included? Why were particular types of ethnicities and all non-white ethnicities singled out? And, of course, it wasn't just a queue. It was a massive crawling snake of non-white immigrants. So that was a trigger for me to write about why am I not there,
what's the issue around the use of the word snake?
There's a long history of a particular brand of politics relating ethnic groups and minority groups to animals, right? There's a very long history of that. And I mean, we talk about a long winding queue as a snake. It's a regular analogy, but when you're talking about a particular minority and an ethnic minority, to liken them to animals, that has a history, right? And you must be aware of that, and certainly somebody working in a responsible job in the media has to be aware of that.
And what sort of other issues did you have with his article?
Well, it was basically that kind of absence. The problem with the article is there's no problems talking about migration and population, right? We have to have the resources, the infrastructure, the public services that can support a population, right? So we have to have debates. But it wasn't about that. It was about targeting particular ethnic groups and finding them to be at fault and to blame. This is a bigger issue. This is a political issue about how we fund public services, about how we build big public infrastructure projects, which the National Party have not done for 9 years, right? And they've also used migration, I think, to actually kind of boost a faltering economy, right? So the actual issues we need to be talking about are why Auckland is under some kind of strain, and maybe why New Zealand is under strain. That was completely absent from the article, right? The real political issues we need to talk about were absent, and he just chose to pick on particular groups. But since then on Twitter, he's picked on white British people as well. So he's actually quite indiscriminate in his dislike of immigrants, I've found since, right? Mm-hmm. So those were the general things that disturbed me.
Yeah, and since he made that comment on Twitter, or his article, he deleted his Twitter, and he's in deleting his Twitter, he had some quite interesting quotes that he made on a Facebook page. Sam, do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, so he posted I would describe it as a rant, basically saying that he's leaving Twitter, and well, here are some of the things he said. Just a few examples of the intolerance, hatred, and madness when a very small bunch of permanently aggrieved groupies start violently punching their keyboard. It's an awfully angry, abusive, and ultimately sad little hangout from hell. Twitter here is an angry child full of self-appointed wannabe intellectuals that believe they're truly superior. Twitter today lost me because it is Twitter and its people have no idea about me and my bilingual kohanga and kura kids, the immigrant neighborhood I live in and my boys' school where 55 languages are spoken. Goodbye, Twitter and the angry aliens that populate your echo chamber. I suggest you book yourself in for anger management counseling. That's just some of the selected quotes from this quite long rant he posted.
So he wants to start a conversation, and the conversation is littered with discriminatory remarks about particular ethnic groups. And when people respond to that conversation he opened, he immediately shuts it down. It's unbelievable, really.
Yeah.
Aaron, did you want to jump in here and just let us know first what was your first response to Duncan's article?
Yeah, kia ora. I think just reading that, it's apparent that anyone that kind of comes across using a disclaimer, you know, I'm not racist, or, you know, whatever you're going to read after this, is not intending to be racist, is obviously building it up to be some sort of xenophobic article. And I think it's quite obvious from the public outcry that everyone's pretty on point in pointing out his racism. I think what we're seeing here is actually a consequence, a wider public consequence of four kind of intersecting discourses, one being, you know, the Crown's colonization of Māori rangatiratanga and kaitiakitanga, and just really the embedded white supremacy and white privilege in New Zealand. I mean, if we were going back even to the poll tax, that was quite discriminatory towards Asian migrants. That wasn't amended until 1944. Then you have the white exploitative and labor exploitation when it comes to border imperialism. And obviously, as one of the other panelists have mentioned, nationals, economic conservatism, that is pretty much on point with most Western policies at the moment, which further enables the degradation of proper infrastructure investments. So I think we're kind of just seeing the consequences of all of those discourses.
Mm. Kia ora. Neil, you actually mentioned in your article that tangata whenua are hosting us all. That's a quote. Aaron, can you sort of give us a bit more, bit of an explanation about the tikanga Māori approach to immigration that you've written about?
Yes, I think quite tellingly, there's been quite a void of tikanga Māori being talked about when it comes to immigration and migration. I think if we were to come from just one tikanga perspective, if we were to use the marae context as a metaphor, knowing that tangata whenua, the people that are housing the guests, the haukainga, so that's the relationship between tangata whenua Māori and non-Māori as the guests to this land. And it's really one that affords mana to everyone. So it's not one that kind of commodifies people that come to this country. It's one that kind of says, hey, welcome onto our marae, if we were to use New Zealand as a metaphor, the marae metaphor, you know, welcome onto our marae and, you know, get involved with our tikanga, get involved as one of us. And I think that's the type of discourse that is missing from the immigration discussion at the moment. And I think that one, that it's totally based on values that we've been that we've held true for the past 200 years.
And what do you think about him using his bilingual kohanga and his kura kids and the fact that he lives in an immigrant neighborhood as a excuse to sort of get out of accusations of being racist?
Well, yeah, I guess, you know, it's just as easy as saying, oh yeah, you know, I have a Chinese friend or I have a Māori friend, you know, I can't be racist type of thing, or I wear a Pounamu necklace every day to work type of thing. What we really need to do is cut all of the, you know, this kind of on the surface so-called multiculturalism or biculturalism, actually have these hard conversations within our communities, because at the moment where we're heading towards is something that is probably going to look quite similar to how America's race relations are at the moment. And it's because we're not dealing deeply with the conversation, it's just kind of surface level.
I might put this to both of you, but in the sense that you've got, perhaps Duncan inherently is not a racist person, right? He may not be a racist person, and he's been targeted as a racist person, but what he's done is made racist statements that add to this rhetoric. Do you think that there's a sort of ignorance or sort of historical amnesia, perhaps, in terms of his position in as a white male broadcaster with that power? Does he have, one, does he have a responsibility, but two, does he have the ignorance that allows him to say these things and not necessarily, because he may not have any understanding as to how that would be damaging? Does that make sense? Neil, you go.
Oh, yeah. I think to write something that can be described as discriminatory or racist doesn't make somebody a racist, right? If you then say to them, look, that is discriminatory and racist, and they say, oh my God, I'm sorry, why? Can you explain to me? Oh, okay, I said that wrong, I'll try not to do that again, right? That's important. But if what's even worse here is that he said this, he's had some pushback, and he's completely refused to engage in the possibility that he might have been discriminatory and racist. That's the really troubling bit, I think. The fact that he shut everything down and refuse to countenance there might be an issue here. That's poor.
Aaron, did you want to add anything?
Yeah, I think the fact that he kind of shut it down and he's kind of, pulled away from social media kind of shows that he wasn't, one, really interested in creating a conversation, or two, continuing any conversation after his article. I totally agree that, you can make those types of statements and doesn't necessarily mean you're like the next Don Brash or whatever, but it does show a degree of privilege that someone, white middle class male broadcaster can make these kind of statements and kind of, throw a tanty and get out of jail for free card. And I think it's through education and talking to and within our communities that we will be able to shape our community perspectives quite differently within the next 20 years.
Kia ora. Is there anything either of you want to add? We've got to wrap it up.
I just wanted to reiterate Aaron's point about in the US and the UK, we're stripping more and more wealth away from the Commonwealth, if you like, or the public, right? And the politics is scapegoating foreigners, migrants, welfare, the poor, right? We cannot go down that route. That is the wrong route to be going down. And that's what Duncan Garner's doing.
Mm. Kia ora. Well, thank you so much. Thank you, Aaron, and thank you, Neil, for coming on the show today. We really appreciate you guys' insights on this issue.
Kia ora. Thank you.
Kia ora.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.